working towards independent surface renewal system that doesn't need a need that doesn't work need calibration, and I'll go more into what they have found and how we are working towards this independent system without calibrating. And I'd like to acknowledge the co-authors. A lot of them have made developments and improvements in the surface renewal analysis to make it more possible to have the system that doesn't need calibration. So this works on the concept of the surface energy balance, which has been gone over many times today in recent talks. So the surface renewal approach focuses on estimating sensible heat flux. And then with this estimate of sensible heat flux and with measurements or models of the other parameters in the energy balance equation, we can derive latent heat flux by residual and from that ET rates. And so the premise behind the surface renewal analysis is based on the understanding that there are that within the surface layer, the exchange of heat and energy is dominated by coherent structures. And these coherent structures bring in these parcels of air in contact with the canopy. And at canopy height, we have a measurement of the temperature using fine wire thermocouples. And so this parcel comes in contact with the canopy, and we have this quiescent period of time where there's little exchange of a heat exchange between the canopy and this parcel of air. And you see that over time with this linear horizontal line. And then after time, you get an increase in temperature in this parcel, which is indicated by the increase in temperature over this time period. So, and then we get a new parcel of air that comes in and renews this heated parcel, and then that is indicated by a drop in temperature. This would be under unstable conditions where the canopy is warmer than the air, and so you see this drop in temperature when you get this renewed parcel coming in and then repeating the process. So we get these ramp-like structures indicative of the coherent structures within the canopy there. And so this is, in theory, how it should look. And in reality, this is what we are seeing using a fine wire thermocouple at the top of the canopy. You see, you know, you can visually, you can see ramps, but you see, you know, multiple ramps, ramps embedded within ramps, if you will. And so part of the work that needed to be done is to characterize these embedded ramps and these multiple scale ramps to determine where the signature of the heat exchange lies within, which ramp you need to look at. And so the surface renewal equation has been modified and simplified to use this ramp characteristics, the amplitude of those ramps, and then the time period with that quiescent period and the ramp duration. And so the change in heat content of that air parcel over time is replaced with the ramp characteristics, the amplitude and the time period over which that happens. And then with this parcel of air, because it's assumed to go over an area, the volume over the area cancels out to the height of the canopy where the temperature measurement is being made. And so in order to resolve the amplitude and the time period of these ramps, the Van Adder structure function procedure is used. So going back here to this equation, we see this alpha calibration coefficient. And it's been hypothesized early on that this coefficient should be a value of 0.5, around 0.5, to account for the linear heating from the canopy to the soil surface. But in So this alpha calibration coefficient, it has been shown that it doesn't come to 0.5. So what has been done is the raw values of coming from the surface renewal approach has been graphed against standard procedures, normally eddy covariance, and then through regression, forcing a regression between those two parameters, the slope gives us an alpha calibration coefficient. And there's a broad range reported in literature. Mainly larger than 0.5 goes, you know, depends on the canopy structure, the implementation of the sensors. A lot of factors come into play of why this coefficient doesn't come to 0.5. And there's been a lot of points hypothesized on why this alpha calibration coefficient is larger than the expected hypothesized 0.5. And so part of this is sensor frequency response characteristics, which is a major part of it that has been found, and that I'll be going into. These other points, microscale advection, coherent structure, microfront duration, the embedded multiple scales, those have been looked at and corrections have been made, or the ramp amplitudes have been characterized for these certain points. Has made it possible to look into the sensor frequency response of the thermocouples being used. Here, Tom Chaplin from the Macaron lab looked into these embedded structures and was able to characterize time lags that make it possible to characterize the ramp characteristics and then calculate the sensible heat flux for scale one and scale two, small ramp-like structures and the larger ramp-like structures. And so here we have a temperature trace, temporal temperature trace using a 13 micron thermocouple and 76 micron thermocouple. And as you can see, the frequency response of the larger thermocouple is attenuated compared to that of the 13 micron thermocouple. It's smoothed out. And this is in large part because of the thermal inertia of that larger junction of the thermocouple. Ryan previously kind of talked on the frequency response and the limitations that arise from that. And so you see here, if we were going to characterize the ramp structures of this top 76 micron thermocouple, we're going to, in large part, overestimate the duration, underestimate the amplitude, and which using the equation would be underestimating the surface, the sensible heat flux, which then we would need a larger calibration coefficient. And so what Tom Chaplin did is looked at multiple ways to compensate for or correct the frequency response of the larger thermocouple, and was able to come in better agreement with a compensated 13 micron thermocouple. If we look at the ramp and the time duration that is derived using the larger and smaller uncompensated versus compensated, we see that the 76 micron thermocouple comes to a better agreement with that of the 13 micron thermocouple. And so this improves. So using this, it improves the calibration coefficient. It eliminates essentially the need, and I'll show some work that's been done to back that up. So here we have some table grapes in Parlier, California, and here we to kind of validate the work that was done with this calibration coefficient and thermocouple frequency response, they compared measurements, ET measurements that are derived from the sensible heat flux calculated from surface renewal, to lysimeter measurements, lysimeter being one of the standard references for water use. And here we got a good agreement. And this is using that hypothesized 0.5 calibration coefficient with the corrected frequency response of the larger thermocouple. And as Ryan said, you know, it would be useful to use these larger thermocouples because they're more robust, less likely to break during your measurements. And so here, same deal, except it's compared to eddy covariance. We get a larger R-squared value. This is done over multiple plots. Slopes range from anywhere from 0.9 to 1.05, so a good agreement. And I believe the reason why we see a higher R-squared, less scatter than we did with the lysimeter, is most likely due to the footprint that each one of these methods are seeing. The thermocouple, the surface renewal approach, seeing a similar, larger area similar to the eddy covariance, where with the lysimeter, we just had one grape vine in a lysimeter where the surface renewal was seeing a larger area. So working with the growers in California, they used a lot of midday leaf water potential measurements. And so we attempted to come up with a stress index where we used these ET estimates from surface renewal and the surface energy balance over a reference ET and tried to correlate it to midday leaf water potential measurements. And here we see the ET using lysimeter and surface renewal. So decent agreement between those two. And then over time, we show ET rates using surface renewal above, and then that ratio of the stress indicator below, and see how they respond to irrigation events there in the latter part of the season. And then below, correlation to the leaf water potential midday values. And this was done in Paso Robles over some wine grapes there. And so we see pretty good agreement there at the bottom graph with the leaf water potential measurements. But then we get other plots where we don't see as good as agreement. And if you look at those ET, the plots above and then the ratio, you see a lot of scatter. And this is something I'm looking into, determining why we see that scatter on some days and why we're not seeing it other days. And it could be the instrumentation or other factors that we need to take into account that we currently are not. And so this is part of what they brought me in to do, is work towards modular units where we could just have a thermocouple out in a field and using models of radiation and solar heat flux, or using a nearby station, we can estimate latent heat flux over multiple crops in an area. And concluding, recent developments pertaining to the surface renewal method allows better estimates of sensible heat flux without the need for calibration over grape canopies. This is important to know, is that this has shown that we can get good agreement over grapes. There's been others who have been trying to take this information and not calibrating, and then trying to implement it over other crops. And I think there's more validation that needs to be done in order to make this acceptable. And with that, I thank you for your time.
If there's one quick question, we'll take it. We're a little behind, but we got a break coming up here in a minute. Okay.
What other crops have you worked on besides almonds and walnuts to get the calibration?
So almonds and walnuts are the main crops that we're looking at right now, just because there's a lot of interest in the UC Davis area. We also had the potential to look at other crops, tomatoes and rice. But we have access to lysimeters that are growing almonds and walnuts in the area, which is more the main reason why we're looking at those crops right now, so we can do EC comparisons and lysimeter comparisons with those crops.
Okay.